Hello, listeners. Welcome to the 14th episode of the Nonprofit Hubcast, our podcast that's dedicated to making your ears happy, your job easier, and your nonprofit a little more remarkable. I'm your host, Randy Hawthorne, Executive Director of Nonprofit Hub, an educational resource for nonprofits. You can learn more about us at nonprofithub.org, where you'll find all of the education we provide in the form of podcasts, classes, webinars, a print magazine, and online articles published throughout the week. On this episode of the Hubcast, we're talking with my friend Lori Jacobwith. Lori is a nationally recognized storyteller and fundraising culture change expert with energy and positivity for nonprofit work that truly ignites a room. Today, we're sticking to Lori's wheelhouse, storytelling. Telling a story is more than just about getting a donor to give. It's about getting your board and staff engaged, finding the passion you have for your role, and in Lori's words, creating a better day. In this Hubcast, you'll learn why storytelling is important to every nonprofit organization, how you can use it to communicate your needs and to connect people to your mission. You'll also learn the meaning of what Lori calls mission moments and how they can re-inspire your donors. Becoming a storyteller for your nonprofit might sound like a tall order, but fortunately, Lori's here to help us find the power of storytelling in ourselves. Well, thanks for joining us today, Lori. We really appreciate having you. You bring so much to the nonprofit world around storytelling. And so let's talk a little bit about that and why you feel storytelling is important to a nonprofit organization.
Oh, wow. Do we have 2 weeks?
Yeah, right?
Just a couple of minutes. I know. I'll be brief, but I believe it is the most powerful way organizations connect people both at the head and the heart level. When you share an example of your impact through the eyes of someone that you provide service for, or they've been the recipient of that law you passed or the clean water, they can brag on you in a way that you can't. They can make it clear why the dollars you're raising are being used really powerfully and really effectively. And it doesn't take a lot of talent to tell stories. You'll go home, I'll go home today, Randy, and we'll tell somebody in our lives stories about our day. So we're all storytellers already. What I believe is we kind of get scared about storytelling, and that's what makes some sort of barrier happen. But if people just remember, and you know, we just remember, we're just recounting the impact of our work through the eyes of someone else, so we can be really big and bold and not modest. That makes it a lot easier for us to tell people why. That's it, the why.
Yeah, definitely. I think understanding your why at any level of business is important. Why you're doing things, and personally, why you're doing what you're doing. Have you had any moments that you can think of personally where telling these stories has gotten someone excited about their own stories?
Oh my gosh. Right now, it's sort of event planning or event season. Spring and fall happen to be big event times, though, anymore. You can find a fundraising event probably on any given day of the week in either of our cities. So I get a chance to listen to the testimonial stories and coach them for different fundraising events around the country. And what I often see happen is when the staff person is going to, you know, really dig around in the organization and find a story, they start to have this passion retread about why they're doing this work. Just yesterday, I got a chance to hear a foster mom and a young man from a domestic abuse location here in the Twin Cities. They don't shelter people. But what I watched happen between the two of them, this woman who wasn't abused, but her children had been, and Scott, who had hurt his wife. Their connection, they'd never met before. They got even more excited about the work of the organization. And then I watched Anna, the development director, and Sarah, the executive director, like sit back, shoulders started to, you know, go down and chest puffed out. And they were in the moment of remembering why, even though their work is incredibly painful and hard and long days, this is why they do their work. Everyone left that session. We were there for an hour, happier, feeling connected, having different stories to share about why this organization is amazing. And the two speakers became friends. And I know we'll support each other, you know, even if it's just by thought. He had hurt his wife. She had children that had been hurt. But there was a connection about the healing location that we were at. So telling a story isn't just about getting a donor to give money. It's about creating a better day. It's about connecting your board to why they serve. It's about remembering that when I share an example of how your organization has helped me, I heal. Now, your organization might not be a human service organization. Maybe you're an education facility, or maybe you're the Humane Society or the Clean Water Legacy. But the work you do affects one person. I work with a number of service dog organizations, and the stories that get shared used to be, with some of those organizations I worked with, all about the dog. What we've shifted to is make it about the person who gets to have that partner dog. And when that person tells their story, I watch people connect and see, I can't even imagine being in my kitchen and not being able to open the cupboard door so high above my head because I'm not now in a wheelchair. And the dog has a way to do that for that person. So stories are connecting, and they have been for centuries, for, you know, since the beginning of time. I like to find a way for people to move past their concern that they have to be a really good, artful storyteller, to just tell why something matters about their organization. Is there somebody you can't get off your mind if you're staff? Is there somebody you've met as a donor that lights you up or makes you proud to give? And it might be a staff person, it might be a client. There's a different lens that so many of us look through. We've all got a story to share about the organization.
Yes. So you mentioned how important this is, like in energizing board members and whatnot. How do you have a couple of tips on how to create a culture of storytelling?
Absolutely. One is, this is going to sound a little contrary, I don't like to call them stories. People get that deer in the headlights look when you say, could you tell a story about the work of this organization? So I like to call them mission moments. What is a moment? A tiny little slice of something that you've seen, the look on someone's face, or a word someone said or a phrase. Describe a moment where I would better understand your mission. And that frees, especially board members, but it frees people up to be able to share something. And I don't feel like it has to be really good. I don't feel like it has to be following an exact formula. And then I ask that at every board meeting, staff meeting, committee meeting, annual meeting, fundraising event, mission moments are shared. I like to have a rule of thumb that at an event of any kind where there's the public involved, there are three times that I'm hearing a mission moment. If I go to your website, there are three times that I'm seeing a mission moment. It might be a face and a quote, or a little tiny 3 or 4 sentence story. But to really immerse your organization and create what you said, Randy, a culture of storytelling, is to identify mission moments all over the place and make it easy and fun for people to want to participate in doing that.
You've mentioned fundraising events a couple of times. And I get to go to a lot of these as well. Can you describe, like, maybe let's just both kind of share some of the better ones that you've gone to and why?
Sure. Well, and may I ask you, what's the most recent event you went to?
Certainly. Last weekend, I did Tastes in the Tall Grass, and it's a natural prairie. It's the Audubon Society is preserving an acreage of land, several hundred acres actually, and the event is just really awesome food out on the prairie on a big long table.
And so, for you, what was it about that work that caused you to want to go to that event besides the food?
Well, I'm a small town boy, and it makes the going out on the prairie kind of takes me home a little bit, and you know, get you out of the hustle and bustle. It's not one of my top priority missions, but it's a nice little side mission to be a part of, and to kind of just be taken away from all the busyness of the day.
So you felt good. You felt like you got a relaxing moment and fun, and you felt like you were doing good.
Yeah.
And saving, our environment, keeping things healthy, clean, safe, whatever it is. Those are stories people will often say, I don't have a story to tell about that. But it sounds to me like Randy's story is, I go to a lot of events. I love supporting the nonprofit community. And when I got to be out on the prairie at the Tall Grass food event just a week or so ago, I not only got fed both emotionally and mentally by learning about the work that they're doing, my tummy got fed, but I also got fed as I knew I was supporting something that really matters to me. And standing out there, the breeze blowing, the sun shining, I felt like I was doing something important. And this organization made me feel great for doing something to help them. So would that be your story?
Yeah, I think you've got it.
So it can be that even when you go to an event like that, I'm guessing maybe there was someone who told why they love this organization that spoke at that event, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely.
So you got a chance to hear other people's mission impact stories, but you've got one too. And that's sometimes what gets forgotten is we can share mission moments with people for sure, but we also want to learn what theirs are. I was at an event just yesterday, and the MC is often kind of a dull role. The person has to welcome the room and get everybody to be quiet. And this young woman, Mariah, welcomed people. She's probably 32 years old, young board member for the organization. She did all the perfunctory things, thanked the sponsors. We clapped for the sponsors and the table hosts and all of that. And then she said, I want to make sure you know why we're here. And a place to call home is something that I haven't always had in my life. And that was the name of the event, A Place to Call Home. And she continued then for about 2 or 3 minutes to tell her own story about how when she didn't have a home, she was in trouble and she was in jail and she, got help. And it was a poignant, powerful 2.5 minutes. You could hear a pin drop. It wasn't your typical MC moment. And then directly after that was a young man named Michael who came up to tell a spoken word poetry presentation for about 2.5, 3 minutes that matched the level of emotion that Mariah had. So between Mariah and Michael, the first, 10 minutes of this event yesterday, our hearts are sort of, filling with care and pride and some concern about the people they're talking about who don't have a place to sleep. Again, totally not, my first mission choice, but I made a gift. By the end of the program, I'd been moved and inspired. I'd laughed. I'd teared up a bit. I was proud. And that all happened in about 45 minutes. So it doesn't have to be a big, huge, production. it can be simple conversation at the front of the room that get people. And there was about 500 people in the room. So that you could hear a pin drop was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I'm highly critical of fundraising events, actually, because I get to go to so many. But, you know, I've been telling people a lot lately. A lot of times they get an MC that's a local radio personality. And I think a lot of people think that they should do that because then they're going to mention it on the air.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is they don't. And a lot of times they don't know a lot about your mission.
Right.
And you have to try to coach them up. And so I've been telling people, much like your example there, is find someone that's on mission.
Yeah.
To do the work of the MC, and you'll have a much better experience.
So you can also do that with the person who asks for the money if you're doing a pitch kind of fundraising event. A few years ago, similar organization about homelessness in the Twin Cities here had a 12-year-old child, a young boy. I think his name was Matthew, and his mom, Mary, and they were the two people asking us to make a contribution. Mary was pretty much there for moral support. Matthew is the one who asked us to make a gift, asked us to stretch, and he said he would be making a contribution of 100% of his income, which was his weekly allowance, and he'd be doing that $5 a week for the next 6 weeks or something like that, which was a really big deal. And his mom piped in and explained what that percentage of his entire year allowance would be. And, you know, said, we invite you, we actually challenge you to stretch like Michael is. It was their largest fundraising event that year.
I'm ready to give right now. I mean, that is awesome. That is an awesome moment for sure.
So a homeless little boy, formerly homeless, has a place to live now. You can hardly say no to him. And they did it in such a respectful way that we were laughing with him and we were proud of him. And he really pulled it out of us that we were supporting, not just with our pocketbook, but he asked us if we would tell other people his story. And I've now shared it with you and hopefully a bunch of other people who are listening.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, in getting donations. Is donor fatigue a thing, do you think?
Oh, my gosh. You know what is? I don't believe that there's such a thing as specifically donor fatigue, that I'm tired to give to your organization. I'm going to clear my throat so you guys can cut this. Sorry. I believe there is donor fatigue when you have asked too many times and not inspired me to give from both my head and my heart. I don't have the why. I don't have the name of a person whose life is different. I don't know how my gift matters. Yes, there's absolutely donor fatigue when we do the kind of asking that is transactional. And there isn't donor fatigue. What I find is you can ask as many times as you want. If you truly inspire me, I've watched organizations go from zero donors to 3,000 donors in 2 years. And we asked almost every day. Some of those people are now giving to the second big campaign this organization has. And most of them are giving to their annual campaign, their annual fund. If you asked any of them, was there donor fatigue? I think they would tell you, I don't even know what you're talking about. I learned so many stories, so many examples of how this, it was a community health center, is making a difference in my life. I didn't even know. So I was inspired to give over and over and over again. So some folks say, we've worn our donors out. I would hazard to say you have transacted your donors out. You know what I mean, Randy?
Yeah, I totally get what you mean. And I'm thinking of some personal experiences around that, too. Like, you know, because email is so easy, the ones that annoy me are transactional. I'm just thinking about this. And the ones that I don't even think about And I definitely don't give every time, but I'm also not annoyed, so that when I'm ready to give, you know, they're still on my mind. And that's because they're telling me the good things that they're doing. So
they're making you feel good as a donor. And that's the difference. I don't necessarily need to know that, you know, 70% of people is X, Y, and Z, or 1 in 3 is this, unless you tell me about one of those 70% or one of those 1 in 3. Then I care about that statistic more. And then I also want to know, what does it cost you to provide that service? And that's where I probably differ from some of the folks you talk to. I say, talk about the money all the time. The more you talk about the money in a non-asky way, the more money you raise. When we hide the total, when we only talk about what we have to raise in the last 3 months of the year, a fiscal year, a calendar year, whatever it is, now you are doing transactional asking. But if you share with me that inspiring, you know, $5,000 scholarship recipients have amazing stories to tell, and we're going to tell you one every month this year. Your average gift will go up, your unrestricted operating will go up, and you'll have a larger pool of major gift donors by just talking about, you know, nice size gift through the lens of someone else's vision.
Yeah, I don't know how often you get to work with new ideas for nonprofits. I get a lot of people that come in my door now that we have a physical location that want to start a nonprofit, and that's the first sentence out of their mouth, and the second sentence is, I need money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Like, right. Tell me why you need money. And you know, so we have to really back up, and I don't know why that is the mentality of starting a nonprofit, because they don't even fully understand why they need it yet.
Right. You can certainly inspire yourself to want to help people, and inspire yourself, as you probably find when you're talking to folks, men, women, old, young, doesn't matter. But if we ask them to tell us the why do you want to change people's lives? What is an example of how someone's life will be different? And what would that cost? That's their whole, first year plan, if they can answer those questions, and their marketing plan when they answer those questions. Whether you're starting a new nonprofit or you're working at the same one you've been at for a long time or somewhere in the middle, often we want to tell all of the details. We have 3 staff or 20 staff. We have, we serve 75 seniors and, you know, 200, whatever it is. Our location is on this corner. We've been in this building for 14 years. Our founders did this. All these logistical details. And those things are some questions that I might want to ask you later. Those aren't the things to start with in our communication when we really want to engage someone. It's why I ask people to start with a mission moment share. So if you're starting a nonprofit, or you're raising money for a nonprofit, or you're whatever it is you want to be doing, have me understand that little lens, that little snippet of what is it you do and why do you get out of bed in the morning? And for me, I tell people, I get to hear the good news. I get to hear more stories about people's lives that are different than you'll ever, ever, ever hear on the news. And that's why I do my work, because I want to hear more of those stories, and I want to help organizations have those stories, those examples, inspire people to want to give. It's like a first date, I tell people. You just tell a little bit about yourself, a little bit about someone you serve, and then you have this communication dance, whether it's on email or social media, or like we're having, Randy. You want to ask questions. I want to ask questions. Well, that's how we build the relationship. But if you tell me everything about Nonprofit Hub, there's no reason for me to go to your website or come to an event or learn more about you, because I already got all my questions answered. So the teaser, if you will, the slice of something that's going to catch my attention and cut through the clutter of all of the noise that's going on in my day is, you know, maybe for you, the story about the air conditioning today. It's a little warm in your office, I know. But it had me connect to you at a different level, because I realize you deal with things just like we all do in your office as you're trying to help as many nonprofits as you can.
You actually inspired me. We run a starting a nonprofit course, and there's a gentleman who is wanting to start a fishing nonprofit. And okay. you know my first reaction is what?
Yeah.
But then almost immediately, I mean, this guy gets it, and I did, and I just connected the dots. Immediately, he tells about this Alzheimer's patient that went out fishing, and she said someone's name, and the staff just melted, essentially, because she hasn't spoken for number of months. And I'm like, oh, sign me up. I don't get your mission at all. And then you tell me that, and I'm like, oh, this makes total sense. And he is such an amazing storyteller. Like, perfect. That's how he leads with this. And it's just... He's already steps ahead, so I'm sure he will not have any issues raising money for that particular cause.
No, just have him, you know, let folks know. So here's what it takes, not here's what it costs, not here's what we need. Here's what it takes to make sure that Sylvia and more Sylvias like her get a chance to go fishing.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lori, for your time today. It's always great to check in with you. You always truly brighten my day.
Oh, likewise. Right back at you, sir.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can try to find them there as long as you like.
And that's a wrap on our conversation with Lori. Storytelling is no joke. It has a powerful impact on your mission and how you spread it. Stories reignite your passion for what you do and show your donors why your nonprofit deserves to stick around. Lori will be back with more nonprofit knowledge this year at CauseCamp, Nonprofit Hub's very own nonprofit conference. To learn more about what goes down at CauseCamp, you can mosey on over to cause.camp. We have a handful of other hubcasts talking about how to relate to your donors, along with an abundance of other discussions with nonprofit professionals. You can listen to the rest of the collection at nonprofithub.org/hubcast. As always, you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NPHub, or visit nonprofithub.org to find more ways to learn, grow, and help your nonprofit become more remarkable. This week, our featured local artist is Bernardus and their song, Asleep. You can head to bernardusmusic.com to hear more of their music. To hear from other local artists, check out hearnebraska.org to see artists, exclusive interviews, tour information, and more about your new favorite bands. As you probably know, Nonprofit Hub provides most of its content for free. We strive to make the best information accessible to all nonprofits. If you or anyone you know would like to help with your mission, you can visit nonprofithub.org/sponsorships. But for now, it's time to go out and be remarkable.
Just the rest is left from long ago. All alone it sits in this boarded up, run down refuge. So I hung the key around my neck in hopes that you'd return.